Should I take my hat off?
Oh, I started recording. No, you should not take your hat off because it says, give me 6 feet, which is actually the best. Caroline. Y'all, everyone listening, this is my bestie for my whole entire life. We're the
Hello.
We've been the Carolines. It's Caroline Squires Nearman. Did you change your middle name to Squires or what's your?
Yeah, it's Caroline Squires Nearman.
So growing up, Caroline and I became best friends when we were 2 years old. We were the only friends that went to each other's birthday party. Like, I think you were the only friend I had at my party. And it just was instant. How did we become besties?
I think our moms were just good friends. And then we were around each other and we just were instant besties.
And like we did dance together, and Caroline had the coolest older siblings, Ryan and Shay. And they were like 7 years older than you, right?
So 5 and 7.
Yeah. And so growing up, we would go play at your house, and Ryan and Shay were always like cool teenagers, and they were like, they had like the junior high and high school talent show, and somehow we weaseled our way into Ryan's talent show act, and we did a dance routine in front of the whole high school when we were like, what? How old were we?
Oh my goodness. I think we were like in fourth grade. And it was like a really big deal because the talent show was for the school that we didn't attend. And it was for 7th grade to 12th grade. But somehow the Carolines weaseled their way in and we did our little dance routine with our cutoff shorts and we ended in splits.
Yes.
And we pretty much thought we were the coolest people ever.
We felt like we stole the show. We're like, we're hanging out with the high schoolers and you know what it was? Because your brother, Ryan, he's so cool. But like, he was the guy that like, just kind of like made everything happen at the end. Like he's so rolling in hot. So they didn't have an act. Like every grade had to have an act. And so he just decided to like act like a talent scout and throw us in the act as like the talent he was scouting. And then he just whipped together this act and he didn't have to do anything. And we got to shine.
He's pretty much known for being efficient with everything he does. And so I think the most efficient way to get to accomplish his requirement for the talent show was to get us.
Yeah. And then he didn't have to do anything and it was great. Yeah. Oh right. Man. Gosh, we also, Caroline, growing up, every single weekend, we would spend the night together. We would do jazzercise, exercise videos. We'd play hardball. I mean, we go hunting for giant, scary things that lived in the little pond behind your house.
Oh, yes.
What were they called?
We would go, what was what called?
Those things that Ryan would find in the pond.
Oh, the alligator gars.
Yeah.
I don't know, but you know what we love to do most was go to Mervyn's.
Oh, Mervyn's! Get body suits!
Yes, matching outfits. We matched every day, and we loved Mervyn's. And we would go with our moms and buy every single matching bodysuit we could.
We only wore bodysuits. Caroline, we made bodysuits cool before bodysuits were cool, if you ask.
Oh, definitely. Yes. We had every single color, and we also wore our hair, you remember, the same way.
Oh, we
and
also
you had
cut.
To cut my hair so I could get it to flow the right way.
So we
and
wanted
we would
to be
use
cool.
That sunflower.
Oh, we would spray sunflower, like leave-in conditioner on our hair and we'd lay on the bed and put our head on the back of the bed so it would fall off. And then we'd brush our hair and get it so smooth on the top and do the tightest ponytail you could get. And then we'd spray it down with leave-in conditioner and let it dry so it literally would crack. It was so hard.
Right.
And then we'd have the one little hair in front of our face like Madonna that I would cut to make sure. Yep. It's just that one hair.
Because it had to be on the same side. We had to just match perfectly.
How did we even come up to have the hair in our face? The one little
I don't know. I think that was your initiation. I think you started that and I just, of course, went along with it.
Oh my God. I mean, talk about true best friendship. Like literally, Caroline, I feel so, and the fact that we have the same name is crazy, but I feel so lucky because we have been best friends our whole life. Like we never lost it, you know?
I know. I mean, even after you went to Baylor and then Nashville, you know, and then came back to Austin, it didn't matter, you know, how far away we were or how, you know, many days were in between us chatting. You know, when you have something like that, it's just rare, lucky, and it never goes away.
Man, so when Michael and I broke up, Michael and I had dated 4 years, and then I broke up with him for 2 years. And when I broke up, I was like, I am moving to Austin. And Caroline, you had just moved to Austin because you'd been living in Fort Worth and you'd moved to Austin. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like my life is falling apart, but I am moving in the same apartment complex with you. I got an apartment in there before I even like looked at it. Like I didn't care where the apartment was. I was like, I'm moving in the same place with you. We were like on like one floor apart, but like so close. So every single day we would hang out. Yep. And like, I was even there when you started dating Jason, your husband. I helped y'all meet.
I know. The funny thing was I was so I went to, I was living in Waco because I went to law school there.
Oh, and you're then living I in Waco, there. Not in Fort Worth.
Right. So I was so excited because I was going to move to Austin and I was going to be single. And then my best friend was moving there.
And we were going to be single together.
Apartment. Yes,
a dating
so much
tornado.
Fun.
We were just gonna date like crazy, which I did. You stopped.
Yes, yeah, Well, then I met Jason, like basically right when we moved there, and then that was all.
Man, that right. was a fun year.
But we had lots of fun.
Oh, and you ran. Catherine and I decided to train for a marathon, a half marathon. And you just would run with us just for fun. And then we'd run to the bar and go get sangria and drink. We'd run 10 miles, yes. Run straight to the bar, and then just drink tons of sangria.
Yeah. That's the best sangria ever. Yeah. That was so good. But yes, we lots of fun times.
I mean, that was a fun year. I'm so glad we got to like before we were married, before we had kids. We got to like live adult right. life. We got to like live adult life together.
Yeah. Exactly. And it was so fun because we were, you know, older and like out of a certain time of our life and, you know, just got to enjoy kind of a new phase.
Yeah, I know. And then here comes all the babies. So you have two babies now. One of them is my godchild.
Yep. Yes.
Sorry, is yours?
Ford and Knox. And
do you
Knox
feel like we're cutting out?
Will be 4 in October.
I can't believe Knox is already 4 years old.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, so Knox will be 4 in October, and Ford will be 2 in October. So, yeah, just growing up.
What's it like raising boys? Because you are outnumbered. You have, obviously, your husband and two boys. And so what is it like in a house of boys?
Well, I mean, it's all I know, unless I'm comparing it to friends that have girls or, you know, remembering my nieces when they were younger, but boys are crazy. I mean, they're full of energy. I mean, for me, I love it because, you know, we play basketball and I love sports and I love being active. And so I love all that kind of high-end activity with boys, but it's exhausting. I mean, they wake up, they're ready to go, and it is nonstop 24/7. So
do they just run around like little tornadoes?
Oh yeah. We call them banshees. They're our banshees and they are nonstop. I mean, it requires so much energy. I mean, my mom and dad are helping right now. But like you really can't, I can do both of them obviously at the same time because they're my kids, but a lot, you know, for my mom, she can't take both of them at the same time. They're
heck
just
no.
so much. They run off. They're exploring. Like, I mean, it's just nonstop.
So y'all are in Colorado right now.
Yes. So we escaped the heat and, you know, just being able to stay, you know, six feet away from everybody.
And your whole fam is there?
Yes, everybody's here. They're slowly starting. Everyone's slowly starting to leave. But, yeah, we're just enjoying the nice, cool weather here and staying out of Texas.
What has it been like being in Colorado? And did y'all fly there?
No. So we usually fly because we come every summer, but you know, with the pandemic and everything, we just weren't comfortable putting our banshees on an airplane. You know, they just put their hands in their mouth. They aren't great at wearing their mask. And so they were just too young. So mm-hmm. we packed up our vehicle and left, and we spent the night in Amarillo and then made the rest of the trip here. But they did great. You know,
how was that car trip?
Well, I really geared myself up for it to be awful. Like, okay. I was like, this is going to be awful, because we took them to Edge Falls, you know, one time.
And that's like a little secret water hole in Texas that y'all go to, like a little pond farm.
Right. Yeah. Place. So it's our family's place that's, in Texas, and it has a big watering hole, mm-hmm. but you know, going back to that, you might recall when we took a little trip there when we were seniors in high school. But anyway, so we took the kids on a trip there, and it's usually like 3 hours from Waco, and Knox is potty trained. And so anytime he had to stop to go to the bathroom, we had to pull over. And then of course he wanted to buy something at the gas station. So it ended up turning into like a 5.5 hour trip.
Right.
And so after that, I was like, I'm never driving anywhere that's longer than like 2 hours with these kids. But then this whole opportunity came up, and I was like, well,
I guess we're just going to go to Colorado. Yeah.
It's going to take us a week to get there.
How many hours away is Colorado?
So I think it was like 14 and a half or 15.
Wow. How'd you do it? So y'all, how'd you do that?
Well, I guess during COVID, you know, the great mother that I am, I got my kids addicted to the iPads. So we put the iPads on, and they didn't complain too much.
Okay. What do they like to watch?
So, I mean, they call it Baba, which is just really anything they find on YouTube Kids. Mm-hmm. So Knox has really gotten into, they watch all these little like truck videos and car videos, like kids. Knox has recently gotten into more like Peppa Pig.
Okay. Yep.
And, Curious George. But yeah, they like to watch, there's all these like songs and like Baby Bus and all these different things that I hope they're learning from. But yeah, so I geared it up for it to be awful, and then it turned out to not be so bad.
So what have you loved doing in Colorado? What have y'all been doing that's been awesome?
Well, the best part is that, you know, we can get the kids out of the house. You know, in Texas, it's like so, so hot that if you're not in water, especially now, you can't go anywhere. It's just so hot outside. So, you know, it's just so beautiful here that we can take them to every single playground. I bike them, you know, all around. We go to watering holes and just kind of adventure outside 24/7. So it is so fun.
Oh, I know. What are your thoughts on this pandemic? Like, what is happening? Like, what is happening with the world?
You know, it's crazy. It's scary. Oh, I don't even know if I've told you, but, you know, we actually had a COVID scare here.
Really?
Yeah. So, first of all, back to my thoughts. You know, it's scary. It's just the unknown, you know? So, but it, you know, we are where we are, and we just have to go with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me being around my parents, I want to make sure that, and they help with the kiddos, that we're taking all the precautions we can to, you know, be safe and keep our kids around them. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, so our babysitter, drove up to Colorado with my mom, because my mom didn't want to fly. So she drives up with my mom, and she's with us for like from Monday until Saturday. She flies home Saturday. Well, Sunday, the next day, she gets home. She doesn't feel good, mostly sinuses, etc., and goes to the doctor thinking she just has a sinus infection. Well, they ended up testing her for corona, and she had it.
Oh, gosh. And she was with y'all the whole time?
Yes.
So
we were totally freaked out because my mom was in the car with her for 16 hours.
And then was she staying with y'all at the house?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And holding the kids was, and everything. How did y'all not get it?
I have no idea. I mean, we are so shocked. But, you know, when my mom drove up with her, she made her wear a mask the whole time in the car. And my mom wore a mask. And then she sat in the back seat because my mom had talked to my sister who lives in Hong Kong. And in Hong Kong, at school, they've rearranged desks. And they do something where kids can't turn backwards or something. I don't know. Something she learned from my sister. She put our babysitter in the back seat. And so she took and rode with the windows down most of the way.
Your mom has always been, when it comes to taking precautions, leave it to Cynthia to go.
Right.
If there's a 10 out of 10, Cynthia's doing a 20 out of 10 checklist.
Exactly. Safety first. Always.
She's always sending you articles on the internet about some weird disease floating around, and now it actually is happening. All her precautions are paying off.
Right. So anyway, she did all that, and then none of us got it. So we called our, you know, doctor to make sure, you know, we didn't need to do anything else, but we stayed away for 14 days and kind of followed all that stuff, but none of us got it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, she had very, very mild symptoms and lost her taste and smell, and yeah, that's it.
Oh, I know. I'm like, it's like I always try to find the positive in everything, and there is a lot of positive. Like, yes, we're getting, like, family time and, like, you know, it's, like, helping us reassess our values, but, like, I'm just like, when is it gonna end, you know?
And, like, I know.
Jobs and working and... Like, but I don't know. We've never lived through anything like this. It's just bananas. And like, I want to get to Texas to go see my family, to see you. And
right.
It's just like living in Nashville. It's hard to, we're debating on if we should fly. What will that be like? Is it worth the risk? And it's just like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard. And, you know, Sunny being so small, that's a long car trip with her,
mm-hmm.
but, we got to keep on chugging along and just doing all that we can. And, you know, I actually pulled my boys out of school. So I wasn't comfortable sending them to school, even though I know the school's going to go above and beyond to keep them safe. But, you know, they're just so small, and that was my personal decision. So
are you homeschooling?
Well, they're so small that we don't really have to homeschool much.
Right.
So my mom has a preschool curriculum knowledge, and so she's going to homeschool, or she'll help teach Nox a little bit.
I feel like your mom's made for that. Like, she's probably going to love it.
Yeah. She, we'll see if not how Nox does. They're so close that I don't know if Nox will be able to, like, sit and try to learn stuff. He'll want to go outside and explore and all of that.
Is it so great having your family around now that you have kids?
Yeah. So, you know, we have Nox in Austin, and Jason, my husband, just travels all the time with work. And as much as we loved Austin, we just knew that coming to Waco would be easier.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being home and having family right there to help. I mean, you don't realize how incredible it is until you have it.
Yes.
So, so we've been so blessed and lucky to have that. And they're so, so helpful and gives mommy a break.
Oh my God. So what is it like coming back to Waco as an adult? Because we grew up in Waco, and I felt like Waco was such a great place to grow up. And then
Right.
you went to TCU, which is in Fort Worth. And then I guess you came back to Waco for law school. So you kind of knew what it was like living in Waco, but you're in the college vibe. What's it like living in Waco as an adult?
Well, you know, what's funny is that I always said and thought to myself, I'm never going to come back to Waco. I mean, I was just like...
Why is it that we say that about our hometown? It's like, oh, I'm going to get out and go do all this stuff. But then you're like, God, home is really actually great.
Well, yeah. And I think, like, everything changes once you have kids.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
I mean,
yes.
Everything changes and your priorities change. And, you know, when we're young and single or newly married or with no kids, you can go and you can do. And, you know, we like in Austin, we loved like going out and going to restaurants and all the things that you can do. But once you have kids, especially yeah. babies, all that changes. So, I mean, even once I had Knox in Austin, I truly missed the community that Waco was to us growing up. I mean, yeah. there are just incredible people in Waco, like so supportive. And, you know, I remember somebody saying that it takes a village to raise a kid. And, yeah. you know, you pick your village and you find people that are there to help and support you. And I just think that Waco has such strong community and support, you know? So,
so good.
Yeah. So coming back to raise a family, you know, it's just so, it's so different. And, there's so much to do. I mean, you have great children's museums. You have, I mean, to me, one of the, my favorite things is Ridgewood and, you know, being able to get on the lake in 5 minutes, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. we grew up on the lake.
Oh my gosh. The lake was, I mean, everything.
Yeah. Your dad taught me how to ski. I mean, I wasn't great at it, but he taught me. You would like get up on your slalom like
at five.
Yes. And then I know. Was like on two skis trying not to bust my face. But yeah, your dad was the king of teaching everyone to ski.
I know. We used to live on that lake all the time. I know. Yeah, there's so much to do. There's just so yeah. much to do.
Well, and especially when you have a family, you know, there's just a lot to do when you have a young family and a family. I still remember when my dad surprised us. Do you remember our jet skis?
Oh, yes. Okay. They were so fun.
Yeah, well, my dad, like, surprised us with jet skis, but they were literally, I mean, I had never even seen a jet ski before. They were, like, the first jet skis, like, ever out. And we thought they were so fast.
Oh, yeah.
But now looking back on what they have now, I mean, they were like, doot, 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 just like, so not so fast.
But we felt so independent, yeah, like being on a jet ski and getting to go dart around the lake.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But and then we would, you know, tie those alligators behind the barge, mm-hmm. the blow up alligators.
Yep.
And like sit on the alligators while we went out, and it was so fun. So now I'm taking the barge out. So we grew up going out on that barge. Now I'm taking it out with my friends, and it's so fun.
I know. I realize now, like, our parents really did design a really great life. I mean, you got the swimming pool, you got the barge, you got, if you want to go golfing, then there's great countryside near Waco where you can go explore. Yeah. Really, and there's great schools, great community. Really is a nice, nice thing. Now that we have yeah. Sunny, I'm like, gosh, we're so far away from Waco, but I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, you get it. But also what's so great about Waco is you're right in between Dallas and Austin. So, I mean, yeah. remember we would always go shopping in Dallas?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just so easy to get to. And if you want to go, you know, out to eat in Austin, you can go and come back. So, yeah, we've enjoyed it. And, you know, for me too, with Jason traveling for his work before the whole pandemic happened and he stopped traveling. But, you know, he would, when we lived in Austin, it could take him an hour and a half to go, you know, 10 miles from the airport. Mm-hmm. But in Waco, I mean, he literally just lands and is home in 10 minutes. So for us, it's just been easier. And I think, you know, we get to spend more time with our family. So
yeah,
for us, it works. You know, every you just got to evaluate what, you know, your family needs. And, you know, it's hard, but
I know, I'm fitting it all in. So how do you balance, because you're obviously a lawyer, you're mm-hmm. a mother, and sometimes you are a single mother because Jason is gone traveling. How right. do you keep all those plates in the air? How do you do working and raising kids and then parenting alone sometimes?
Yeah. So, you know, I think all of it is hard, whether you're a full-time mom, whether you're full-time worker, part-time mom, single mom, all of it is hard. And so you just have to, you know, give yourself grace to be the best that you can be and just kind of take it day by day. So, you know, I just try to balance everything the best I can, and I realize that I'm not going to be able to do something.
Like, and what's your work life? What's your work balance? What's your work? I guess work balance. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I try to spend as much time as I can with my kids, because it's going to go as fast as it's going to go. Mm-hmm. So I try to do my work when the kids are napping or when they've gone to sleep at night, or I wake up an hour early before they wake up to try to get it done. So I try to get my work done, you know, when I can and the kids are, you know, sleeping, et cetera. But I also know that sometimes I'm just not going to get it done, and I might have to give them the iPad to let them just sit there for an hour, and that's okay. You know, it's okay. So, and then I call in for help, you know, because it's okay to call in for help. I call my babysitter, or, you know, I call my mom, because you have to realize that it's okay to have help, you know, and to call on help. And
And I love too, though, I love that our generation, especially, like, I feel like it was really hard to do, to sometimes work, be a full-time mom or as much of a full-time mom as you can and have a career. And I love that, like, we as women in this day and age, we really can, we can do both. But I think it's great to show your kids, I'm having a career, I'm also 100% here for you, but sometimes I have to, like, I have to get help because I want to show that to Sunny. Like, I don't want you to not do your dreams. Like, right. When you grow up, like, if you have kids, like, yes, obviously you be a mom if you want to, but, like, still do your dreams. And I think that's good to show your kids that you're still working hard and providing for the family and doing your dreams and being a mom. Like, that's a great, I love that. That's
how
we live this generation.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, like, for you having a daughter, I think it's awesome for her to see her mom doing that. For me having sons, I want them to, you know, see the importance of having a mom that's doing that, or in the future, you know, a woman supporting them to support their dreams and goals and help them, you know, get where they want to get, you know, whenever they're older, finding their wife, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, I just try to. And, you know, for me, it's good for my kids to get a break from me. They need to be around, you know, other people. And for me, it's a good, I need a break. Like, I need to get on, you know, a work email and have an adult conversation with somebody. You know, it's just, you know, it's good for everyone to get that, that little bit of break too.
Totally agree.
And I just try to do the best. You know, I've realized I'm not going to be perfect at everything. I'm not going to be a perfect mom every day. I'm not going to be perfect at my work every day. I just have to do the best I can. And then, you know, tomorrow's a new day.
Amen to that. How has motherhood changed you?
Well, for me, you know, it's completely changed my, priorities. You know, I, before I was more about myself, probably we all were because, you know, I focused on what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it. You know, and I could because I had no other responsibilities. So, you know, now everything is about my kids first. And so I always, of course, put them first, and everything I really try to do is for them. And so changing priorities and just, you know, of course, you know, feeling a love for somebody that you've never felt before. So it's just life changing, and it's the greatest, you know, gift that I think.
What's a day or a memory that you think of that just brings you so much joy? Like, when you think about it, it just swells your heart.
I think probably the day that I gave birth to Knox, because, you know, but not everybody else knows that we did surprises, you know, with Knox and Ford. So we didn't know if it was a boy, we didn't know if it was a girl. And so with Knox, you know, just having that moment, not only that I became a mom, but also only Jason and I in that moment knew that we had a son.
Uh-huh. Oh, and this so is it scary. Was, this pretty serious one.
I know. It was just like, you know, so besides the doctors and nurses, of course, but just having that moment of becoming parents, but also like, here's our son that nobody else knew whether it was a girl or a boy. And so it was just really, really special. And, you know, I just, you don't ever know what it's like until it happens, you know? So
that day, I know what you mean. Like that day when meeting Sunny, like it is just the most transformative experience
right.
I think I'll ever have in my life. Like,
yeah,
it's just insane.
I know. And you just are holding this tiny human being that depends on you. I mean, for survival. And so, yes, it's, you feel like, oh my gosh, I have this responsibility, but you know, the love and everything that goes along with it is just, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
So that's probably obviously my happiest moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, Cairo. Okay. So I'm so happy that we finally have had a chance to get this interview documented, because literally you have shaped me so much. You are so much of who I am. Like, honestly, the Carolines for life. Like, it's just been such a blessing in my life to have you as a best friend, to have someone that you've walked through every single phase of life with, who has known you from the start, like to just be seen. You and
right.
I have seen each other our whole lives. I mean, what a blessing is that to have a friend like that. And now, like, we have families together, and our husbands get along, and when we all like get together, it's like so fun. And it's just like, that's just so rare. And I think the older I get, the more I realize the rarity of it, you know? Because when you're young and you're doing all this stuff, like everything's new and exciting, and you meet people and all this stuff, but then like when you get to this next chapter, it's like, wow, these are the people in my life. Like, you are the person in my life who is a rock of who I am. And it's just amazing.
Right. And I mean, there's very few that have, you know, that are able to go through all of this part of life with
yes.
each other. You know, you meet your good college friends.
Yes.
You meet your good post-college friends. You meet your mommy friends. Like, but I mean, you and I have been going at it since birth. And, you know, I still have my best friend necklace.
I do too. We had best friend necklaces when we were like in elementary school. I still have mine too.
Yeah. So it's the little heart that fits together. And then on the back side of it, we have Cairo C and Cairo S.
And we got the other one's name. Like, I have the Cairo S because I wear that piece of my heart is you. And then you have the Cairo C.
Yes.
And we used to do gymnastics together all the time. And you were South Carolina and I was North Carolina, or what was it? Or
yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, everything. Not one thing did we not do together.
I know. It's
freaking
so fun.
Awesome.
I mean, we could go on literally for years of all our memories and excursions and all the things we did. But
what's something? What's a story? Are there any stories that you have of our childhood that just like pop into your mind that must be shared?
Well, I mean, to show what strong of a bond we had, you know, I got really upset when you started going to camp, like because. I mean, I pretty much only spent the night with you, you know, when we'd have sleepovers. So, you know, you start going to camp for like a month.
Oh,
and
I know.
I'm thinking, what is she doing? She's leaving me for a month. And after that, it affected me because I couldn't spend the night. And remember when you came back, I would try to spend the night with you and
you'd get a stomachache.
10 a.m. 10 p.m. I mean, yeah. And your dad would have to take me home, but yes.
Every time the night would come around, you'd be like, my stomach hurts. I know. I ruined you.
I know. Yeah, so that really affected me when you started to go to camp. What would be yours?
Man, We even like I just don't know why this is popping in my mind. Like, we would get boxes, and you and I made little symbols of like a language, and then we'd write out like all the language and the symbols, and we try to like write letters to each other that no one else could read but us.
Yes, we had our own private language for sure.
Oh yeah. I don't know. It just like it's just such a blessing in my life. Like, I am so thankful for our relationship. It's just amazing.
I know. It's so incredible. I also remember like when your mom would pick us up from carpool with that fried okra.
Oh, from Underwoods. Yes, we'd go get fried okra and eat a whole pint of it. Yeah. Yum.
So good.
So good.
So good.
So good. Oh gosh. And when we would spend the night at your house, we would prank call boys. We would call them and prank call all the boys. And sometimes boys would even come over to your house, and we'd like prank call Grant Goble and Russell Jones and Pyle McNamara. Oh my God, that's what I remember. When we were in like third grade, somebody wanted to ask you out, but you already had a boyfriend, so they asked me out for the condolence prize. Who was it? I can't remember. One of the boys, I think it was Russell, I think he wanted to ask you out, but you were already dating Grant Goble in third grade. And then, so Russell just asked me out as a side effect, as a second place winner. And I said, yes. For 3 days. Oh gosh.
But we would have like, whenever we would break up, we would have a friend break up with them. We couldn't.
Oh yeah.
Nobody ever did it themselves.
No. All the boys always wanted to ask you out. And then I would be the leftover. Like whoever. Oh. It's so true. You were like the one all the boys wanted to date. And then I was like cool and stuff. But like I would get, if you were taken, then they'd be like, okay, I guess I'll ask out Caroline Cutbirth.
Oh, hush. Well, you know, I mean, we went together. So
yeah,
you and I always together. Oh, that's so funny. Zero. Oh my gosh. Remember we would go to El Conquistador with our parents like every Friday or something. And I feel like one of us broke up with a boyfriend from the payphone at El Conquistador.
You did with Grant Goble. Yeah, that was right. Mm-hmm. Oh man, Caro, God, the memories. It's just so good. I love that. I love it all. So yeah. I always end all my podcasts with "Leave Your Light," but I'm kind of turning it into, since the podcast is called "Get Real." Yeah. What do you want to get real with people? What do you want people to know
about myself?
Anything, just like what comes to mind, like. What do you want? What kind of wisdom do you want to get real and drop on people?
I think that's a tough question.
I know. What do you want to know about yourself? And then what do you want to know about life? I know. I'm sorry. There you go. It's not easy. There's no crying in baseball, Caroline. Okay. You got to answer the question.
You know, I think that as, you know, I've gotten older, you know, I've just realized that life changes. You know, and, you know, you think that things are going to go a certain way, and they don't.
Yeah.
And so I think you have to be able to, and for me, change is hard. You know, I don't like change. I get comfortable in my way and I don't like change. So I think you have to realize, that change is inevitable. And when it happens, you have to accept it. You have to be strong and you have to persevere. But you have to remember to look out for yourself and take care of yourself. And
that's so true. How did you learn that? Would you not look out for yourself for a while and would it like weigh you down?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, just through family experiences, and I think I was always one to kind of, I would think, kind of put others first, and I, you know, I think it's just important to take care of yourself, and
totally,
you know, for me, you know, one reason that I became a lawyer was that my parents always instilled in me that, you know, how important education is and being able to support yourself, because you never know what's going to happen in life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's one reason I continue to, you know, try to work and balance everything, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So you have to take care of yourself and, you know, look out for yourself when things happen. But I think realizing that change is inevitable, you know? I mean, y'all have experienced it with death in the family and unexpected death and just work changes, life changes, and, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
You're so wise, Caro.
I don't know about that. I, you know, it's also trying to live by your words, you know. You can say a lot of words, but, you know, it's harder to live by what you're saying. So kind of making it a purpose to practice and act what you believe in, you know.
I love that. Yeah, walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
Exactly. Because, you know, a lot of people do talk the talk because they want people to perceive them a certain way. And so, you know, I think just trying to find who you are, what you believe in, and act it, you know, act what you, what values, what morals, et cetera, that are yours.
Amen. Caro, I love you so much. Getting the boys out with your parents and figuring out a time to get this podcast done. I mean, it's just, I'm telling you, making it all fit, it's like a puzzle. And I am so glad we could have this conversation locked down in history forever.
I'm glad I could use my cell phone because I couldn't figure out the Zoom on the, and, you know, of course, like, not able to, you know, get myself ready every morning.
Oh, don't worry. Really. I mean, I look terrible every day. I mean, I'm like, oh my God, I'm sorry, Michael. I need to try again. One day.
Well, that's, you know what's funny is every new year, I'm like, all right, I'm going to really focus. Like, I mean, I love to work out.
You love to work out. You've always loved to work out.
Right. And I can put my workout clothes on and go work out. But, you know, I look at so many moms that are always put together. You know, their hair's done, their makeup's done, they have a cute outfit on. So every new year, I'm like, I'm going to do this for Jason.
And they, like, get back to their pre-pregnancy body weight. And I'm like, how do you do this?
Yes. And their hair's all curled and everything. And every new year, I'm like, I'm going to do this for Jason. I'm going to, like, start getting myself ready, you know? Because, I mean, in high school, I loved to get ready. I would have my hair straight. I would have a cute outfit every day.
Oh my God. In high school, I would like think the night before about my outfit that I was going to wear. I mean, come on.
So every new year, I'm like, this is the year I'm going to do it. I'm going to focus on really getting ready. And that's where priorities, you know, are not there. We're not first anymore.
I know. And I'm like, I want Michael to think I'm sexy. I want him to think like, ooh, dang girl, you look good. Ow. But I'm like, when it actually rolls around and the morning happens and Sunny's crying and you got to get the bottle going and you're on the floor chasing around, I'm like, I do not want to be in freaking jeans. I cannot have my hair down because she's going to rip it out. If I put on earrings, anything other than a stud, she's pulling them out. I mean, if I put on makeup, I'm going to have milk on it. She's going to wipe her face, hand on it. Like, why? Food is in my hair. It's like, I'm not. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I cannot do it. The reward is not worth it to me. Like, it is so much more of a pain in the ass to have to do to be ready than just to put on workout clothes and roll with it.
I know.
Sorry, husbands. Take us on a date.
Now we'll get dressed up. And we're in a pandemic, so where are we going?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, they make so much cute workout clothes now. So
And it shows your butt and your boobs, and that's great.
Yeah.
That's so,
there we are.
Well, I love you, Caro. Love you to the whole world, and have a great rest of your time in Colorado.
Thank you. Love you so much, and thanks for having me.
Yes, this is the best. Okay, bye.
I love you.